Okay, this week's parasha is parasha Vayigash. I'm not going to lie, whether you're right now here with us in Eretz Yisrael, or you are in America, or wherever you are in the world, whoever's listening to this idea, definitely the theme of the week in Jewish news, the theme of the day, of the talk of the day, is Sima Shas. That's what's going on. What's Klal Yisrael up to right now? Klal Yisrael is finishing Shas. That's a big milestone. Whether you learn Shas, whether you learn a few pages of Shas, whether you are Messiah Shas, it doesn't make a difference. That's what's going on now in the world. The truth of the matter is, nothing is by chance. And if you look in the parasha, there are many, many references, in my humble opinion, to the Sima Shas. You have to know how to read. You have to keep between the lines a little bit. There's a very, very important message that I want to pull out from the parasha, which is related to each and every one of us, whether we're part of this Sima Shas or not. There's a message that's very, very important for each and every one of us. I'd like to begin actually at the last pasuk of the parasha first. We'll start there, and we'll move backwards. Last pasuk of the parasha, it's a short parasha. Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim be'eretz Goshen. Today Israel dwelled in the land of Mitzrayim, in the land of Goshen. And they established the land, they settled there, and they were fruitful and they multiplied there. End of the parasha. What's the Torah telling me? B'nai Israel lived in the land of Mitzrayim and the land of Goshen. And they established there, and they multiplied there. The Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, in his Sefer Darash Moshe, has the following beautiful insight. He says, the Torah is telling me a very, very important message over here. I think a very timeless mention, timeless message, timely as well. What is that? Sometimes people think, you know, what do you want from me? I'm not in the best environment. You know, I grew up in Manhattan, New York. I grew up with so much difficulty around me, so much chumma around me, so much anti-Torah values and culture around me. How do you possibly expect me to thrive, to become something meaningful in Torah learning and in Yiddishkeit? Like, the cards were stacked against me from day one. Like, I was, you know, I was born into a, literally, I was held in the hospital. I was already exposed from day one to, you know, to things that are not exactly Torah values from the screen in the delivery room, for crying out loud. What do you want from me? Says the Torah. No. You know where B'nai Israel became B'nai Israel? In the land of Mitzrayim. You know where else? In the land of Goshen. You know what happened in the land of Mitzrayim? They were fruitful, and they multiplied in the land of Goshen. They teach us, as the Moshe Feinstein, that it's not necessarily the place which makes the person, it's the person who makes the place. And if a person wants, a person has a drive, a person wants to accomplish something, it doesn't matter where he is. It doesn't matter necessarily which part of the globe he finds himself. It's possible to thrive and to become something spectacular and extraordinary no matter where you are. And I think that this message is very much a theme of Sima Shas. Some of us saw on the screens last night different clips from different shiurim. It said Gibraltar, and it said London, and it said Philadelphia. I got a shot of Philadelphia, and Brooklyn, obviously. Hanover. And I'm sure the videos that were shown on the screens in America had much more exotic places that Daphne only was learned, like on trains throughout the world.
It was the same video, yeah.
There's a famous train every morning on the LIRR, the Daphne train. And they literally learn the entire Daph every single morning on the way to work. And it's a five towns train. It's a beautiful Kiddush Hashem. It's unbelievable. I remember witnessing a few years ago, they had on Yeshiva World, they had a seal on the train. So they finished Shas, not the same cycle as the Daf Yomi cycle. They finished a little earlier. And they brought in like a whole catered meal on the train, and they had a whole festive dance on the train. The train? Everyone goes on the train to work. You know what? Yeah. But some people take the train and make the train the most important part of their day, the time of the day where they literally disconnect from the world, and they connect and they tap into eternity, the word of Hashem,
on the train, and they make their train experience Kiddush Hashem. It doesn't matter where you are. There's a big website called Torah Anytime. Torah Anytime, they have shiurim, you can listen on the way to yeshiva this morning. I had a few extra minutes in the car. I popped in, I heard a shiur from Rafael Waxman for a minute, I heard a shiur from Rabbi Smith for a second. Torah Anytime. You know what? You know what this pasuk teaches us? Not just Torah Anytime. Torah?
Anywhere.
Anywhere. What's our excuse? I'm not connected, I don't have a device. No one has a device. Everyone's connected. There's so much that can be learned. It doesn't, we almost have no excuses anymore. What's our excuse? I'm tired? What's our excuse? I don't have access? What's our excuse? I'm not smart. There's no excuses. There's Art Scroll. There's Tosfos elucidated. There's whatever you want. It's there anytime, anywhere. That's lesson number one. And Rabosai, it goes even deeper. Let's string a little bit backwards in the parasha. Bnei Yisrael come down to Mitzrayim. After Yaakov sees that Bnei Yisrael are going to be able to survive Mitzrayim. And before anything, what does Yaakov do? He says, you know what, I got to send up a messenger in front. Who does he send?
Yehuda.
Why does he send Yehuda first to Goshen before Bnei Yisrael get down there?
Set up
to set up a yeshiva. Why? Listen carefully. Why? Because Yaakov knows it's going to be difficult in Mitzrayim. Yaakov knows that it's not exactly the most welcoming place to Avodas Hashem. Not exactly that at all. But you know what? He knows that it's possible. If you have a yeshiva, if you're connected, if you're attached to something which is greater than yourself, it doesn't matter where you are. I grew up, excuse me, Avodas Hashem, in a place, a little town called Fairlawn, New Jersey. Adjacent to Fairlawn, New Jersey, there's a little town called Paterson, New Jersey. Not exactly known for its strong Jewish community. But you know what's in Paterson, Rabbi Yisrael? You know what's in Paterson?
Yeah.
In Paterson is a small yeshiva. A very good yeshiva. And it's in the middle of nowhere. It's like an island unto itself. Surrounded by almost no Jewish community. And there's an island. An island of Torah. Serious Talmud Torah that's going on there. You know what happens? It's possible to have an island of Torah that exists, even in the middle of nothing, a wasteland, in the middle of nowhere. Rabosai, we could go on and on. During World War II, there's a famous escape of Amir Yeshiva. Where did they end up?
In Shanghai.
And what happened in Shanghai? Torah was preserved in Shanghai. 400 great students found this unbelievable campus, massive. Virtual base measures that was turned into a base measures that was built with no apparent reason because there was no people to sit in it. And somehow they had a place to sit and learn and to literally maintain Talmud Torah during the hardest times as they were running away from the Nazis in Machshavim in Shanghai. Unbelievable. Torah is not bound to any muckle. Torah doesn't only thrive if you're in Yerushalayim or HaKodesh or if you're in Bnei Brak. Torah could thrive anywhere. Doesn't matter where you're going, doesn't matter where you're going to be. Torah is beyond time. Torah is beyond space. Torah is not bound to any area. Rabbi said, let's go back a little bit further in the parasha. And we'll close with this. Yaakov and Yosef are apart from each other for 22 years. Yaakov's a little worried about his Yosef HaTzadik. How's my Tzadik doing? And finally, the brothers come back and they give word to Yaakov, Oh, Yosef Chai. And it says, the pasuk, a yafag libo. He doesn't believe that, the pasuk says. And then it says, listen carefully to what it says. And then it says, vayidablu elav. And they speak to Yaakov, as kol divrei Yosef asher dibar lehem. Everything Yosef said. And then listen to these words. Ayaris agolos. Yaakov sees the wagons, asher shalach Yosef, that Yosef sends to carry him. Then and only then, vatichi ruach Yaakov avivim. The Mefarshim explained the following pshat. Yaakov heard Yosef is alive. You know what he said? Alive is fine. I'm kind of happy about that, but I'm not excited. You know why? Because 22 years in the Mitzrayim, you know what that could do to my son? He might be physically alive. He may have a pulse in his body, but he might be spiritually dead. And you know what? It doesn't. So if my son has a body, but no soul, Yaakov's not happy. But what happens? He sees the wagons. Chazal, so what are the wagons? Ezra Arufa. The last thing Yaakov and Yosef learned together was the parasha of Arufa Chazal say. The parasha of, if you're not sure if a corpse is found between two cities, what happens? You measure And as soon as Yaakov sees these wagons, he sees that Yosef is still alive. What does it mean to be alive? It means he's still learning Torah. He's still connected to Hashem. He's still breathing Yiddishkeit in the middle of Mitzrayim. Then it says, Yaakov. Then Yaakov is, okay, now my sons. Now let me go see Yaakov and Yosef and Mitzrayim. Now I can understand. Now I really appreciate his being alive. Rabosai, the time is a propitious time. The Sima Shas is a time to inspire. If you got inspired last night, everyone in Yerushalayim, great. It could be some of the videos that'll circulate from America, from the American Sima Shas and that life. Those will get you a little bit more inspired, great. If you get the inspiration from the parasha, it's also great. The point is, however, Torah is our lifeline. Torah is kihem mamish, kihem chayenu v'orach yomenu. Torah is not limited to any time. Torah anytime. Torah is not limited to any space. Torah anywhere. Torah is what keeps our nation alive, what has kept us alive, and is what will keep us alive. Don't forget this. The Kuzari says, I'll close with this. The Kuzari writes these words, Ein umasenu uma ela bitorasa, which means our nation is only a nation with its Torah. That means we have a nice land here. It's called Israel. But you know what? Take Torah out of Israel. You know what you have? Uganda. You have Uganda. We may as well have been in Uganda. We could have gone to Korea, to North Korea, South Korea. I don't care where we go. Go to Vietnam. That's a nice place to establish a country. If there's no Torah in Eretz Israel, then the whole nation is just another nation, like the Chinese and the Japanese and the Portuguese and the Jews. It's the same exact thing. Abosai. It's the Torah, which is timeless, which is not dependent on any space, which keeps us alive as a nation. We should all be zocheh to take in this message, to imbibe it, to breathe it, to live it. And wherever we go, and wherever we are, and whenever we are, we should take the Torah with us, make it a part of our lives, and be zocheh to be kind of Shem Shemayim. Have a good Shabbos, Abosai.